Hello all sentient beings and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk about all news, comics, and media related to the Transformers. On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we review Transformers issue 24. The Transformers the Movie 30th Anniversary Edition goes on sale, and we talk about conventions announced for 2021. Today is Friday, November 20th, 2020, and this is episode 208 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that will rebuild the tether no matter how many times it's brought down. I'm your host, Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team, Jeremy, aka Yakko.
Hey, how's it going?
And the amazing and awesome producer and editor, Mike.
I'm going to bring the tether down? Nah, I got nothing. Let's talk Transformers.
Well done.
That's how you do it, Daryl.
All right, and we're going to start off the show with talking about our Donatrions, and we have no new Donatrions, and I mean, that's fine. We'd like more new ones, but that's okay. We've got some merch to sell, and you guys know where that is. You've been listening to our podcast for a while, transmissionspodcast.com/shop. We also have our friend K-Girl's shop at tpublic.com/user/superstarK. She does awesome work for us. There are new t-shirt designs in there. And masks. You can get masks. Don't know whether you know there's this pandemic going on and you need to wear masks. So we sell them. The 37th episode of Empire of Rust is up. Cybertrons 7 will be put out on Monday, November the 23rd. Who's Cybertron 7, Mike?
Well, you're just going to have to listen to the episode to find that out now, aren't you?
But you're here now.
As long as it doesn't have to do with Sector 7.
Okay. No, it does not. You have no worries with that. But Daryl, you've been listening to all the episodes as they come out, so of course you know all about Cybertron 7, don't you?
Yes. Yes, I do. They're the seven mega primes.
You could even name them all if you want. You don't want to, I'm sure.
No, I don't want to give it away. It's a spoiler.
Yes, it is a great time. I don't want to spoil anything for you, but we are neck deep in this new chapter. So yeah, go ahead and jump right on in. We are going to be hitting a really interesting part coming up in the next episode or two. So it's a great time to experience it. But Daryl would know all about that.
I do. I mean, you wrote this, right?
Indeed.
So you're a little kind of, I don't know, biased as to saying it's exciting or, you know.
No, actually, I have checked all my biases at the door.
Okay.
This show is objectively the best one on the internet.
Oh, wow. That's high praise. All right. Well, Monday, November 23rd, check it out. All right, we're going to get into some comics news then. And in comics news, not much again, but we've got that second part of the Abominus webcomic. It has now been translated into English. So us normies can read it. Yeah, so if you're interested in that and you are following the Takara web comic, there you go. Take a look. Next up, we've got volume 4 of IDW's comic series, Declaration of War, is on Amazon for pre-order. So this is the current series that's going on, and it will... No, it's not. Yes, it is. Yeah, yes, it is. Okay, never mind. Yes, it is. It's going to collect books that aren't out yet. So it's going to collect Transformers issues 25 to 30, and the Valentine's Day special, which is out, and Transformers Escape numbers 1 to 5. So there you go. There's only one of these books that's actually out right now. So there you are. Interesting. It's due in August, on August 10th, 2021. So you've got some time.
Assuming the books aren't late.
Right. So that's cool. And that's it for comics news. Not a whole heck of a lot. Let's move on into our review for this week.
And for a book that is out, we are looking at Transformers number 24. This is written by Brian Ruckley, art and colors by Beth McGuire Smith, letters and design by Jake M. Wood. Editors are David Mariette and Tom Waltz, and assistant editor is Riley Farmer. There are 6 covers to this book. Cover A has everyone looking on as the winged moon is shattered, and this is by Beth McGuire Smith. Cover B has everyone pressuring Wheeljack to work faster after voting Gears off, and Gears was not the imposter. This is by Red Powell. Retailer Incentive has Wheeljack and Megatron facing off over the cycle of the moons. This is by Nicole Goh. And then there are 3 retailer exclusive covers, all for Devil Dog Comics, devildogcomics.com. And these are all done by Olivia Ramondelli. The first one has Soundwave and his tapes. The second one is a recolor of that one, but it is Soundblaster and his tapes, with Soundblaster having the new, oh crap, what's the faction?
Mercenary.
Scavengers? Or Mercenary. Yeah, sorry, Mercenary logo on him. And then the third one has Soundwave looking up at his flying tapes. So, Mike, let's start with you. Which one of these do you like?
I'm going to go with the first of the Livio covers, the one where Soundwave is in his traditional colors. I really love the overall look of that cover. I love the colors on it. Love the lighting effects on there. Just absolutely beautiful cover. Beautiful cover. Colors are great. Everything's good. Love it.
All right, cool. Daryl, how about you?
Well, I wasn't able to get this cover this week, but I really liked cover A. I thought that looked kind of cool. Just the color palette that the Bethany chose was really neat. The red, behind the breaking of the moon, just was really neat. But yeah, that's a really nice cover, and I wish I was able to find it.
Cool. I think that's the one I would go with too. I really like the contrast between the white background and the figures, and then also just the cracks that are going on throughout the entire page. Mm-hmm. Although it is also nice that we have a lot of new artists here. Cover B and the Retailer Incentive are both names I haven't seen before. So, nice that we're getting more, more artists getting a shot here. So with that, let's get on to the review. The title of this is, this is in the Rise of the Decepticons arc. The title is Wheeljack Orbital Decay. The issue starts off with an intelligence report from Starscream about the infiltration troopers, which we saw in the last issue during the Senate attack. And then as the story begins, Wheeljack oversees the final evacuation shuttles, leaving the winged moon to head back to Cybertron, leaving himself, Huffer, Lancer, Cosmos, and Gears to figure out a solution to save the moon and the energon it contains before it crashes into the sun. Wheeljack maintains his positivity that there is no challenge that can't be solved, while also shutting down Huffer's constant pessimism. With 7 cycles left, they try their first idea. They drill into one of the storage vats and overpressurize it with energon from some of the others to let the venting energon propel the moon away. It doesn't work. Inside the moon, pipes are bursting and Gears doesn't have enough fingers to plug them all. So Huffer demands that they shut everything down before it's just all destroyed. In the past, Wheeljack is with Termagax watching the moon's construction. She's sad that the Autobots have told her not to try any more overly ambitious projects like this, but she plans to go into politics to change their minds from the inside, and she wants to form a new party, the Ascenticons. Back in the present, there's 5 cycles left, and Wheeljack finds Cosmos on the surface staring towards the sun. Cosmos is thinking of someone he'd like to have with him to watch the scene, but he's all alone. Cosmos then warns Wheeljack that they're going to be passing through the Croton cloud soon, which is the remains of a fallen Titan that's orbiting the sun. Wheeljack knows that they'll have to take shelter inside the moon as they pass through, but they need to get on with their next plan first. This second plan is to have Cosmos and Lancer in their final shuttle that they have lift up a section of the surface so Wheeljack and Huffer can get under it to reactivate the rotational adjustment jets. Unfortunately, when he's in there, Huffer sees that the wiring is damaged and there's no chance to repair it. Wheeljack orders Cosmos and Lancer to cut their tethers and get free of the cloud. Then he and the others take shelter before the moon passes through the debris. After it passes through, Lancer lands and is leaving the shuttle when she notices something odd in the storage shelf inside. Grabbing a wrench, she hits the box that she sees and it transforms. She alerts the others that she's found an infiltration trooper. In the past, 30 kilocycles ago, Wheeljack is trying to convince Termagax not to walk away and hide. She's not being very sympathetic. It's been a long time since Wheeljack has shown any interest in the Ascenticon cause. Wheeljack is concerned that all of the anger that that's currently in the Ascenticon ranks will flow through Megatron now. She knows this, but she also believes that Megatron will fail just as she did. But she does plead for Wheeljack to try to help to guide him. Wheeljack replies that he's just an engineer and he wants to build things, not destroy them. Back on the moon, they've captured the infiltration bot, and he says its name is Enemy. After some questioning about who would choose a name like that, Wheeljack tries to make sense of the situation. Enemy had been up on the moon siphoning Energon to a relay on Vigilum and then sending it on to Cybertron. Then he was stuck when the tether came down, and he just hid in the shuttle, hoping for escape. Dealing with this trooper cost them time. There's now 3 cycles left, and their final idea is to try and deploy the moon's wing and then use rigged explosives to break one of the wings off and change the course of the moon with the explosion. With everything in place, they execute the plan, and to everyone's surprise, it works. Much of the moon has been destroyed, but they're safe. However, during their celebration, they get a communication. The link to Cybertron had been destroyed, so this is a surprise. However, it's a local transmission. The screen comes to life as Teamstream Mark II has arrived on the moon, and they plan on stealing it for the Decepticons. So that is it for Transformers number 24. This is actually kind of a backdoor pilot kind of issue for the Escape series, because it does say to follow Wheeljack's adventures after this, it's going to be an escape. But I thought this was a fun issue. I liked having the timing references, so we knew how close the moon was, you know, how many cycles it had been. But I thought this was good, and seeing some of the characterizations here, I think Wheeljack and Huffer worked good contrasting with each other. I had forgotten that that Gears was the, or Wheeljack is Gears' mentor. And apparently Gears is still trying to find his place in the world. But this was fun. There was almost no real action to speak of. It was more just kind of tension and character stuff, but I thought it was pretty fun. Mike, what did you think of the book?
So here's some of the positive things that I found about it. I love it when there's this kind of discovery of history through this, like talking about the Titan that was destroyed and left to, like, its remains left to orbit the sun. That's super interesting to me, and I want to know more. I want to know, like, who this Titan was, where did it come from, like, how did it get destroyed, why was it left to orbit, you know, the remains left to orbit the sun. That's super interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I love it when that kind of history comes in, so great on that. I was not the biggest fan of the art in this one. It feels very, very flat. It feels an awful lot like these are the flat, and there's no shadows, no highlights or anything on much of anything.
I was gonna
bring that up
thing.
As well.
Yeah,
I mean, it looks like Beth McGuire Smith did the colors too, so it might have just been the flats. But yeah, it doesn't seem like there was any polish to them.
Yeah. And I always hate complaining about the art, because I know how long stuff like this takes, and I know how much work it is. But yeah, I mean, it just, like, I'm looking at page, what is it? I haven't know what page I'm on. It's the one where Gears is, like, using, like, the pole as the lever to try and free up some gear.
Yeah.
That one. So bottom right hand, like the bottom right hand panel on it, I'm looking at Wheeljack and Tuffer, and there's some shadow coming in from the door, like the opening, the doorway there. But you would expect their fronts to be in significant shadow, especially considering the thickness of the shadow on the ground there and the depth of that. And it's just, it's not. It's all just one solid color. Like, okay. Not what I was expecting.
So. Right.
And unfortunately, most of the book is like this. So we have a couple pages here and there that have a little bit more to it, but yeah. Like, I'm looking at the page where Lancer is in the ship, and the ship has, you know, a little bit of detail to it. It's got some shadows, got some highlights going on there, but Lancer doesn't. I don't know, like mixed feelings about this. The history, like the story structure, stuff like that. That's really cool. I do like the kind of ticking clock element they got going on with the narration. That's neat, but yeah, art falls flat.
Yeah, and we have noticed, like, when we were doing our cover commission, we originally wanted to have like a G1 style to it, and then it just didn't look right with the modern characters. So then we went. We asked Josh to do a more modern coloring, and it just, coloring makes such a difference. You know, it's very underrated how much of a difference it makes to the look of a book.
Yeah, such an underrated profession.
All right. Well, Daryl, what are your thoughts on this?
I wasn't overly impressed at all. I thought the story was almost, I don't know. It wasn't exciting at all. There seemed to be almost no reason for the story, until the very end, when it kind of leading into escape. But, like, they really didn't discuss why the moon is on this trajectory towards the sun. Like, how did this happen? They're just trying to fix
it. It was the tether. It was tethered to Cybertron. When that broke, it just started drifting away.
So it's drifting into the sun? Like,
yeah. I mean, because the planet was orbiting the sun, so I would just guess that it's the gravitational pull of the sun.
I guess.
Yeah, I thought I missed that from like the last issue or something. Yeah, I didn't get that either. Like why?
They don't come out and actually state that, but it was more just me remembering from the series. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, there should have been more of a background.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't have any real education in like solar dynamics here, but if the tether is cut, then wouldn't the moon just continue to orbit the sun? I mean, it would eventually start to move away from Cybertron, but
I would think the gravitational pull of Cybertron would.
That would be my guess, is that it would continue to orbit Cybertron because that's closer, not just be immediately pulled to the sun. But, you know, I'm no astrophysicist.
The tether was there to not hold it in place, but to transmit energon down to the planet, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think there was also like an elevator in it.
Yeah, it wasn't like a kite where it was being held in place by the tether.
I don't know. Yeah, we haven't gotten really the physics of how it all worked. Mm-hmm. Or if we did, it was like a couple of years ago and we've all forgot.
So
all right.
Regardless, the story just seemed kind of pointless to me, so let's take out the whole tether thing. So now they're on the thing and it's hurtling towards the sun. Okay, great. Now we've got a little bit of action that we need to kind of figure out something here. And now we go through a couple kind of ideas to kind of fix it. All right. They mentioned how this moon has these wings. I didn't read, and maybe it's something that's been mentioned before, but nobody mentioned anything about why the moon has these wings, what they're used for. You know, it's just the moon has these wings that we can deploy, right? I'm like, oh, I've never seen that before. So, you know, they could have been mentioned before, but I don't recall them being mentioned ever. And that could be just my ignorance and not paying attention closely enough to the comics. It's something that we probably need Charles here for, because he remembers everything.
It was called the Winged Moon.
Why?
I'm looking that up now. It was mentioned in I think the second issue of the continuity.
It was called the Winged Moon.
Yeah.
So there's no reason given why it has wings, though.
Well, that's what I'm looking into right now.
It doesn't, it doesn't matter. Like,
yeah,
I'm not going to remember like 2 years ago, you know? So the story just seemed kind of, you know, blasé. I do like the fact that Enemy was brought into it. I don't believe Enemy has ever been brought into a North American comic series before. Or Western comic. It's been Japanese character only. So that's a first, and you know, that's cool. I'm all for that. That's pretty neat.
He was in Dreamwave. There's like a War Within reference that he was in.
Well, damn.
That's just, I'm on the wiki. So that's all I
know. So yeah. As far as the art goes, the first page of the comic, when I started reading this thing, so after the first page of prose, which for me being someone who reads a comic book to not read prose, is I hated that. So to open it up and have the first page be this threat assessment thing, I didn't even read it. I hated that. I hated it so much. I skipped it. Then I got to the first page of art with Wheeljack standing there and looking at the shuttles going away. To be perfectly honest, it looks like a rough drawing. And perhaps there's a reason why it's, you know, maybe it's a memory or something like that, but it looks like a rough, and I would have liked a little bit more detail on this drawing. The rest of it, I agree with Mike that the coloring, you know, there's a little bit of, shading or kind of the color gradually changes shape or shade, but essentially it looks like flats. So I thought the characters look good. Bethany's got her own style of drawing the characters, and that's, you know, her style. And that's, you know, I'm not asking her to be Nick Roach or Jack Lawrence or Alex Milne. She's got her own style, and that's the way she draws the characters. They look good. And
they're consistent within themselves.
They are, but the coloring is now something that needs to be addressed. And whether she's, you know, wanting to do her own coloring, and that's something that she's, you know, striving for, I would caution her to stick with using a colorist. It's just, it makes the book a little bit better. Other than that, you know, I was really looking forward to the story continuing from issue 23 and having this one be, the next issue in that series was a real disappointment. It's issue 23 really had me going, and I was really excited where the story was going, and to just put a giant stop sign in front of me and say, nope, read this. And this was the story that you put in front of me is just not good. You know?
Yeah. And I will add, I was going to mention with the to be continued at the end of this, nothing upsets me more than having a to be continued. And then it's a next month. We're going back to the Megatron storyline.
Yeah.
To be continued is actually to be continued in this whole other book. So it should have said that on the to be continued line, like to be continued in Transformers Escape number one.
Yeah.
Right there. But yeah, this just takes you out of the excitement of that Megatron storyline.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I can't agree with that more.
I like the addition of the characters coming in. I forget the name of their squad. What are the, at the end here?
Team Stream Mark II.
The what?
Team Stream Mark II.
Sure. But the all these female Decepticons. They're badass, and I like them a lot. They're really great characters, and they're all essentially new, right? Like,
well there's Astro Train in the background,
right?
And the Tetra Seekers too.
Well, I mean the three in the foreground, or there's actually four in the foreground. I can't really see who that fourth one is. You really just get a head, but the three in the main three in the foreground are essentially all really new characters.
Yeah. One thing that'll be interesting going forward in Escape is when Cosmos was there wanting to, you know, he was thinking about someone, as we've known from the Valentine's Day special, which is probably why it's included in that collection with this. He was thinking of Astro Train because they had that kind of, I don't know if they ever actually met, but they had that communication kind of pen pal thing. So it'll be interesting to see when they're here together.
Well, this issue is not included in that series.
Oh,
this is the next one, 25 and to 30 is.
Oh, DJ Ron is saying it's blast off. So never mind. I was wrong with that. So just forget that altogether. The editor will take that whole thing out.
Daryl, I disagree with you on the prose at the beginning. I actually really love to see stuff like that.
Hey, a lot of people do. I'm just, if I wanted to read a prose book, I'd grab an actual novel. Yeah. So
it's a way to get an extra page in the book.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of reading prose in comics. So
it was very snarky. It did sound like Starscream. No. All right, well, anyone have anything else here? mean, I think we're all looking forward to getting back to the Cybertron storyline. So we'll get that next week. So I guess that will be it for the comic review.
Okay. And we will move on to Transformers Media News.
All right. Well, now we come to my section of the podcast. Ah, there's very little here. So in media news, we have just one piece of movie news, not Bay movie news, but the 86 movie news. And it is on sale on most digital platforms. iTunes, Google Play, and Amazon have digital copies of the 86 Transformers movie for $3.99 to $4.99. So if you haven't gotten a digital copy of it by now, and seriously, why haven't you gotten it by now? But maybe you need to give it for a gift. Maybe you need, maybe Christmas is coming up and you want to be able to send it to someone, although it's far too early for that. So, if you need it for yourself, then go ahead and pick it up. Again, iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, for $4 to $5 digital copy, and you'll be able to see this awesome movie again for the 18th time, or maybe 80th time. Who knows? I'm not going to judge. And just to be a little bit more specific, it is the 30th anniversary edition that we're talking about. If that makes a difference to any of you listeners.
So that's the one that was upscaled to HD.
Yep. And I think the colors were like updated too, right? Like the reds are a little bit more pinkish, like on Hot Rod.
It's got the colors from that Sony 25th anniversary version where like Hot Rod is more reddish.
Gotcha.
And it's also widescreen.
Still a good version though.
Yeah.
But that is it for media news. Back to you.
All right. And we are going to end the show with convention news.
All right. I'll just mention this in brief because we had a longer discussion in the toy show this week about these things. But if you didn't hear, TFCon Baltimore 2021's hotel block is online. Go to tfcon.com for the info. And it is October 22nd through 24th, 2021. And this is going to be at the Hilton Baltimore Inner Harbor. So check that out. And then DairyCon 2021 has been announced. Pre-registration is December 1st. The convention is April 9th through 10th, 2021. It is at the Cow Palace in Fond du Lac County Fairgrounds in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. So check that out if you're in the Midwest. And then there is a convention coming up in the early 2021 called IACON Online. And they are looking for panelists, cosplayers, and artists. So the easiest place to go to would be their Twitter, which is at IACON Online, and they'll have more information soon. So three conventions coming up, one online, and that is all for now.
All right. And at the end of the show, we like to mention our Masterpiece Donatrions for their shout out. And still, it's just John 4X Levengood. So thank you, John, for being very awesome. We don't have any voicemail from you, but we're still going to, you know, shout you out. And yeah, that's it from us for this week. Mike, thanks for joining us this week. And we really appreciate you coming in and filling a seat. And let us know what's going on with you. What you got going on?
Well, I'm always grateful to come on to this show and talk about my stuff. So thank you for having me. If you would like to see any photography I've been doing, then go ahead and pop onto Twitter or Instagram. It is at Minervion, M-I-N-E-R-V-I-O-N. And of course, you can see, or I'm sorry, you can hear Empire of Rust on the Transmissions feed. And myself, Adam, Pat, Matt, and Mike will always, always love to hear your comments. So go ahead and jump on the Transmissions Discord channel and give us a shout out. And we'll be more than happy to talk the show with you. So, yeah, photography, Empire of Rust, all good stuff.
Right on. All right. And that's going to do it for us this week. Thank you again for listening, and we'll talk to you next time. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Later.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.